he looked and he saw his dad, John Hancock, on a brand new 15-year contract. He goes, so that what do I do? They go, well, you're not leaving. You leave, that's a breach of contract, and you're going to owe us $7.6 billion.
Because only the tough survive. That's the reason you ain't in it. And this punk holding the camera reading he ain't in it. Reading these rednecks out here ain't in it. Because it's a tough business.
Terrific.
What, is that all you got?
I'll ask you the standard question. You know?
Standard question.
I think this is fake.
You think it's fake?
What's that?
Is
that fake?
Huh? What the hell's wrong with you? That's open hand slap, huh?
Welcome to the Fourth Opinion Show.
You have made a huge mistake. And if I ever see you in person, I am telling you on camera, please don't edit this out. I will rip you from limb to limb for destroying my reputation in your phony book full of lies, calling me a somebody who just wants to gain attention to themselves and a has-been. That's all I have to say about this, Jericho.
Hello, everyone. Hello, and welcome. Welcome, one and all, to the Sports Opinion Show. I am your host, as always, Matt Alvarez, broadcasting to you live from San Leandro, California. God, it's a beautiful day here. It is just a beautiful day. Usually, it's raining this time of year, and no rain in sight. I was able to, I just got back this morning, actually, from Modesto, California, with my cousins, and we had a great time, and yeah, it was awesome. I hope you all had a great Thanksgiving as well. I hope it was awesome for all of you. I'd like to welcome guest 4541 into the chat room, and of course my good friend DDP, hanging with you guys here on the day after Thanksgiving, when of course you all could be out Black Friday shopping. I had a real bad experience a few years ago with that, and I'm never doing it again. That's what I get for not listening to my own mother. And look at this. We've got some turkey awards to give out. You're going to see what that's all about. Look at this. The phone lines are already going crazy. We're going to take this call and see who this is. Call from 484. You're on the air.
Well, happy Thanksgiving.
Hey, happy Thanksgiving. How you doing?
Good. Yourself?
Good. What's on your mind today?
Oh, nothing, man. Just chilling, man. Just hanging in there, brother.
Just hanging in there, huh?
Yeah. You have no idea who this is, do you?
Yes, I do. It's Mr. Eric Williams.
Okay, you seem confused for a second.
No, I didn't.
Yeah, okay. I haven't been on here a while.
Yeah, everybody knows that.
Yeah, I know. I'm back. It's good though, man. Nah, I just figured I'd give you a call, you know.
Yeah.
Co-host, I'll be in there for the remainder of the show and see where it goes.
Yeah, so how was your Thanksgiving, man?
Oh, it was great. I've been sick the last couple of days, with a cold and stuff like that, but I had a fever Wednesday night, and I fell asleep at 4 o'clock, and I was just feeling like crap, and just woke up Thursday morning. I had to go to work on Thanksgiving. It was 5 to 1:30, but I woke up at 4, and I was like, I feel way better than yesterday, and then just went to work, had a great day at work, you know. Came home and ate, not too much, ate a little bit, but, you know, just trying to, you know, take it all in. And, you know, we got a month away from the other holiday, that's Christmas. Yeah, that's pretty much where that goes. And another spurt coming up of work. It's going to be crazy.
I'll take
the money, you know. I'll take the hours.
Yeah, it's always
good
to have extra money.
Week. 61 hours after tomorrow, so hey, I'll take the extra overtime.
Yeah, really.
You
know, just telling everybody here in the chat room, you know, that I had a bad experience going to Black Friday, never doing it again.
You know, I don't understand it with these Black Friday things. I mean, what's the deal with this shit? Like, you're getting, like, and I'm gonna bring up a story that, you know, I don't really care if, you know, if they listen or not. I feel that some of these people are stupid. You know, you go out on Black Friday and, you know, you want to make get a deal, right? And you think that these people would get it, that they would understand that on the ads it says all quantities are limited. Okay? Remember that. It says on the paper, and if you can read, not, you know, and if you should be able to read to be able to go shopping, because on those ads it does say, I'm just clarifying that out there because we have some dumb Americans out there who don't like to read and don't know how to read, but think they're better than everybody else. Anyway, on to my point. These people at my job are like, oh yeah, Black Friday, and I've never went Black Friday shopping. Like, since I was, like, 6. I mean, I think I went when I was young. But these people are like, oh, yeah, I'm getting this tablet. And it was originally $300, but I'm getting it for $275. It's such a great deal. And I'm looking at them, I'm like, it's $25. I'm like, that's not a deal at all. I'm like, that's like a, you know, a 5-10%. That's ridiculous. You know what I'm saying? Like, if that same tablet was on sale on Black Friday for $79 or $80, okay, I'd understand it. You're saving $220. You know what I'm saying? I understand that. But for a $25 difference, I'm thinking just I'd avoid all the hassle, all the bull crap, and just buy it when all the bull crappers are not there. Or buy it before Black Friday. Like, really, like, I think these people do Black Friday just to say, oh, I did Black Friday. For all you, that's my fault for Black Friday.
Or, like, well, all these other people now, you can do Black Friday online, too, and then they're getting ready for Black Monday online. Like, oh, my God.
These people are nuts, man. Like, I think the world's coming to an end.
It is, really.
It's pretty ridiculous. We have some dumbass. I always say this guy at my job says, dumbass. That's all I go, oh, it's ridiculous, sorry. It's ridiculous. I don't understand it. Like, people are so, like, stubborn.
Well, it's the greed. It's always been about being greedy and everything else.
And honestly, because... I think it's funny, like, Black Friday, the day before Black Friday is Thanksgiving. We're supposed to be thankful for each other. And the next day, we're fighting with each other. You know what I'm saying? Like, what kind of a world do we live in? That kind of crap happens, you know?
Yeah, I know. It's chaotic because, I mean, we'll get to sports here in a second, ladies and gentlemen. But, you know, it's crazy because when I worked in my former retail job, you know, it was in 2003 and all the big shots came in and we all had this big meeting. And they go, here's our plan. They hand everybody this paper. And I said, whoa, 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 whoa. And they go, why is your hand up? I said, because we've never opened the day after Thanksgiving, much less work on Thanksgiving. I said, well, it's about the money that we need to make. We need to make the money. They said it just like that. I was like, I just ended the conversation. I could see it was going nowhere fast. I'm going to get ugly, so I just, like, these greedy bastards, that's all they care about. And, you know, I felt sorry for most of my other retail friends who work at Walmart and all these other places, because they had to go back to work at 8 o'clock last night. Like, damn, what is wrong with these people? People fighting over this, people fighting over that. I got that TV first. like you were saying, we're supposed to be thankful, but then they come in and security has to get involved at some store. Okay, who took the TV first? I did. No, I did, you little bastard. Like, oh my God. Why didn't you just get in a damn wrestling ring and duke it out there? See who gets the TV.
So what was your story? What was your experience?
My experience was I needed, you know, I already had a TV in my room. So I went to go get this Michelin brand TV. It's a 20-inch, you know, TV that I needed in my room. I'm like, hey, I've got a DVD player in it. That's just what I need. I need a DVD player in my room. Because I got the living room all set up. Everything's good. So. And the TV was originally $325, and they brought it down to $100. That's $200 off, and it was like, well, Walmart's 5 a.m. sale. I'm like, okay, well, and my mom had always told me, don't ever go because you'll never be able to avoid the rush. I'm like, yeah, whatever. That was years ago. She ain't here now, so it's all up to me. I got my car, and I get there to Walmart, which is not that far from here. And I got there, and I parked my car and wasn't paying attention until I turned off my car, and all of a sudden, I turned off my car, and I see all these line of people. This shit's going down almost down to Home Depot. I'm like, what the hell? What are all these people doing here? It's supposed to be my day, and they're all here fucking early in the morning. It's a long-ass line. But then luckily I saw some friends of mine, and they're like, come up here. It's much better. You'll get in faster, too. I'm like, yeah, thanks. And we were just talking, having a nice, friendly, old friend conversation, and these two jackasses, you're not going to believe this, Eric, but these two jackasses, they jumped to the front 10 minutes before 5 a.m. It's not even 5 a.m. It's only 4:50 a.m., and they start kicking the glass door and saying, let us in, and we have a right to be in because we're the two tallest people here. And I was like, oh, shit.
Oh, boy.
And so they start, you know, parading around and just, you know, doing anything they could to get in. I'm going, you two are such dumbasses. If that glass breaks, you're both going to be in trouble, and you're going to pay for the new glass. So, you know, this little security guard, who was female, by the way, ladies and gentlemen, I'm serious, she was female, she finally had enough, and she rolled up there by herself. She's like, all right, just calm down, gentlemen. You know, the store will be open soon. Just let them do what they need to do so then they can open the store and everybody can proceed accordingly. And one guy just walked up there and was like, come on, we have a right to be here. This is our hood. Our hood, you hear me? And they both tried to gang up on her. I was like, oh, shit, she's going to need some help. But she wasn't scared. As little as she was not scared. She finally started getting back at them. She shoved the other one, this, like, older man who was, like, my dad's age, and the other one's probably, like, my age. I guess they were father and son. But she pushed the older guy back first. She's like, back up! Back up right now! I ain't playing no more. I'm trying to be nice here. Everybody back up! I was like... He goes, oh, what are you going to do? You're going to hit me with your... You're going to scratch me with your stupid nails? Then she gets on a walkie-talkie, and they're like, ah... walkie-talkie my ass. And I was like, I wouldn't be so sure about that. Because the Walmart here, not everybody realizes that between Office Depot, because there's Office Depot there, and Home Depot, in the middle of those two stores of that shopping center, there's a little San Leandro, California substation with a police substation there. So the cops are there right there, because that's where they're at. Just one little police car, but that's enough right there. So the cop car went, woo! And as soon as the cops rolled in, and then they called for backup too, the two yahoos that started the whole thing, they jumped to the back of, way back of the line, acting like they were never there, like they weren't a part of it. So they were talking to the security guard. I know, it's funny. They're talking to the security guard, and they go, where'd they go? Where are they? She's like, I don't know. They went somewhere. I was like, oh, damn. My friends were like, should we go tell them that they're at the end of the line? I'm like, Nah, I'm sure they'll find them. I don't know if they did or not, because everybody went into the store and everybody went crazy. And, you know, after I got my TV, put it in my damn shopping cart, I turned around and all these other people there, because they're like, oh, there's the TV. They all saw what I was doing. I'm like, oh, you monkey see, monkey do, damn. Then I tried to go into the back, into the DVD section. I was like, I'll buy some cheap DVDs and start a little DVD collection since I'm here. But I couldn't do that either, because another jackass in the back is like, I know you got some more PS3s back there. Come on now. And they were like, we don't have any more right now. And he picked up this little guy. He was like, I was like, oh, shit, I'm out of here. I didn't know if he beat him up or what. Like, damn, people, chill out. I'm going home. Terrible, I tell you.
How long in line did you wait?
I waited for a good 30 minutes, but I was glad when I got the hell out of there.
I bet. I would never go. That's ridiculous. So stupid. It's no sense.
I know. I told myself, that's what I get for not listening to my mom. She knew what she was talking about. I ain't doing that no more.
Hey, you know what they always say? Mama knows best, right?
Exactly. But me, I'm
a
hardhead, so.
She's probably looking at you, probably looking down and saying, probably saying what my one guy, this one guy on my job says. Dumbass. Just kidding.
Probably. I don't know.
Probably like, damn it, Matt. What the hell are you thinking? You're going to get killed out there.
Didn't you listen to me? I tried to tell you, but you never listened. You've always been a hardhead. Oh, well, you got to live and learn, right? I'm like, damn. more people got to live and learn. Especially if your name is Ed Reed, ladies and gentlemen, as we get into this. He's been suspended for this before, but this time he's got himself in a lot bigger trouble. Maybe he's a hardhead like me. The National Football League announced on Monday that Baltimore Ravens safety Ed Reed has been suspended indefinitely for one game next week without pay for repeated violations of player safety rules that prohibits hits to the head and neck area of defensive players. Because in the third quarter of the Ravens' 13-10 win over the Pittsburgh Steelers on Sunday night, Reed was flagged for an unnecessary roughness on a hit that he gave Emmanuel Sanders. And this is his third violation in the past three seasons. And, you know, their athletic director and New England Patriots athletic wide receiver, everybody was talking about it. They said, hey, we cannot tolerate repeated violations of rules, especially rules related to player safety. That's if you guys want to agree with that or not. It's your opinion. After all, this is the sports opinion show. And we will continue to take the strongest possible action to deter these type of violations and protect all players. But Reed actually doesn't really care what happened to him because it's his earnings. That's what this is all about, really. Eric Williams, you know this guy makes more than most people, and he's not even a quarterback.
Yeah, I agree. But you know what? In Ed Reed's case, they don't really know they have no idea how to stop these vicious hits. The NFL has no idea.
Exactly. Especially when they're paying him $7.2 million this season alone. But
it's only a four. It's only $400,000.
Yeah.
But the thing is that he's still going to be making $6,776,471. So he's still making, you know, more money. It's just $400,000, whatever, you know, for 1 year.
Yeah, so don't expect to see him on Sunday. when the Bears play again. So
they're pretty much going down on backing down on these hits because of the fact that, you know, people with football injuries, you know, the whole thing with you know, Junior Seau taking his own life, and you know, three players in 1 week got hurt. Vic Alex Smith and Jay Cutler sidelined with concussions. You know, I think they have to kind of crack down a little bit on some stuff.
Yeah, that's what they are trying to do, and yeah.
You think they will?
I think they'll eventually, you know, figure it out for themselves what they actually need to do. But like you said, Alex Smith is out with a concussion.
Vic.
So Jay Cutler and a few other guys this week. And I tell you, I just cannot believe that, but it's bound to happen sometime. And everybody wants to know, but this is, you know, something that even I didn't know, but it's knowledge for all of us, Eric Williams. Does anybody know why the Detroit Lions always play on Thanksgiving? Not this year, though.
Yeah, they did play this year.
Yeah.
Why'd you say they didn't?
Because I've still got to wake up, because I had to leave Modesto early this morning and come back.
Okay.
To my cousin.
They played yesterday against Houston.
Yeah.
And they lost.
Yeah, they did.
What were you going to say?
Well, the reason why the Lions always play on Thanksgiving is once the Lions had an owner who made Dallas Cowboys boss Jerry Jones look like a cookie cutter, this man is responsible for one of those enduring traditions in football. The guy's name is G.A. Richards, and in 1934, he bought the Lions and moved the team from Portsmouth, Ohio to Motor City. Right away, the radio interpreter had an issue. The Tigers, Detroit's baseball team, was dominant, making it to the World Series that year and bearing down on his first championship in 1935 with stars like Hank Greensboro, Charlie Garber, JoJo White, and Schoolboy Rowe. The Lions were an early version of the USFL Michigan Panthers, talented but a side dish at best. Richards needed something to set his own team apart, so he decided, we're going to play games on Thanksgiving Day. Although this wasn't a first for the NFL, Thanksgiving Day football dates back, actually, to the 1920s. So, you can thank G.A. Richards for having Lions always play on Thanksgiving. I tell you. I don't know how many of you saw last Thursday's game, but the Bills beat the Dolphins 19-14. Then all the Sunday games, of course, we can skip the Raiders game. The Packers beat the Lions on Sunday 24-20. Falcons have beat Cardinals 23-19, and the Bucks took out the Panthers 27-21. Cowboys beat the Browns 23-20. Redskins beat the Eagles 31-6. The Eagles just couldn't get anything going there. The Jets beat the Rams 27-13. The Bengals 28-6 over the Chiefs. The Jaguars 37-43 over the Texans. I'm very sorry, DDP, about your Texans there, but I don't know what happened in that game. Just the way it goes. Saints beat the Raiders. Yeah, I know. 38-17. Chargers, of course, beat the Broncos. No, the Broncos beat the Chargers, 30-23. The Panthers and the Colts game, it just took off. I saw that game. I saw the Raider game, like I said. But the Patriots, they just, it's like they were invincible and you couldn't see where their defensive players were at and who actually had the ball. And the end of that game is 59-24. That's terrible. And the Ravens, 13-10 over the Steelers. And, of course, the Monday night game, maybe because they didn't have Jay Cutler. I don't know. I don't know if Jay Cutler would have made a difference or not, but they lost to the Niners, 32-7. Crazy. And then this week, this is only week 12 of the NFL. Of course, if you saw anything from last night, the Texans beat the Lions 34-31. The Redskins beat the Cowboys 38-31. There was some controversy in that game, but nonetheless, it is what it is. And the Patriots beat the Jets 49-19. That was a very, very good game. A lot of back and forth. Now we just have to look forward to this coming week for Sunday. The Titans will take on the Jaguars. The Bills take on the Colts. Steelers take on the Browns. The Raiders take on the Bengals. Got to cross my fingers for that one. The Broncos take on the Chiefs. The Dolphins will play the Seahawks. Falcons will play the Bucks. The Vikings will take on the Bears. The Ravens will take on the Chargers. Rams are playing at the Cardinals in Arizona. 49ers will take on the Saints. Packers at the Giants. Then, of course, the Monday night game is the Panthers and the Eagles. Man, that's crazy. Well, Mr. Williams, what do you think about that?
It's going to be a good week of football.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
It's
going
to be a great week.
And, of course, as we get closer and closer, they're going to, you know, that the NFL is, of course, getting ready for the playoffs, and we'll just go from there. And then we're only 5 weeks away from Christmas. Thank you, Eric, for putting me on your Christmas list. I appreciate it.
Yeah, okay.
Just had to mess around there. Did you guys hear about this little young kid? She's just out there tackling people on offense and on defense. She's a quarterback for this little league. And she was actually on one of the NFL shows this week. And I was like, I think that was awesome. And throughout the whole interview, they let her have fun, and they were just showing her a good time. And a couple of the guys, like Marshall Faulk, he was one of them. He actually took a tackle from this little 10-year-old girl.
Sorry.
Yeah, she's the only one out there on this boys' team. And, you just have to watch her footage and stuff, and I'll air the footage next week. I didn't have time to do it this week. It's always crazy, the week of Thanksgiving. But at least I didn't have to cook. I don't know about Mr. Eric Williams cooking.
I didn't have to cook.
You just laid in bed like a lazy ass, huh?
Shut up. I had to work. I just said that I worked. What'd you do all day?
Well, yesterday I got up and, you know, took a shower, got ready, and I was gone by 11:30 in the morning, and I drove my ass to Modesto. Spent the night.
Did you cook?
No, I only remember I tried cooking last year for Thanksgiving. Never doing it again.
Why, it was bad?
Yeah, it was okay. I was proud of myself for cooking it. Proud of myself that I didn't burn the turkey or anything. It was just so much work, so, yeah.
Never again. I guess that's good for you.
Yeah. Hey, but it was my own fault. I'm the one that offered, looked at my dad and said, I'll cook for Thanksgiving. He's like, what? Okay, well, you're on your own then. Good luck with that. Like, crap. So I get for opening my mouth.
Now you know.
Yep. And everybody always says it. We have too much leftovers. Well, if you live in my area and you happen to be listening, go ahead, you know, bring the food over. I always got room in my fridge around this time of year. No, Eric, I didn't ask you to. I don't even know how that would be possible to just mail off a bunch of Thanksgiving food to me. UPS will look at you and be like, are you crazy or something? You can't deliver food. I don't know how you're going to explain that to UPS or whoever.
Yeah, I don't know how either.
I mean, unless you could maybe tell a fib and for medical reasons. Oh, my brother will be cured only if I give him the Thanksgiving food. Yeah, right. I don't know how that would work. I don't know. Some ideas that jump into my head. So, yeah. Well, we're going to do what we normally do. Take our little break. And when we come back, we've got so much craziness going on. Got some injury results from the Extreme Rising pay-per-view. Some of those boys did take some massive injuries at Extreme Rising, including the original ECW performer, New Jack. You'll hear me talk about that very soon.
Fans, don't worry. The Sports Opinion Show will be back after a brief message from our friends here on the NDB Media Network.
Ladies and gentlemen, the hottest place on the internet for wrestling and video games is, of course, WGS Radio. We got it all. News, reviews, interviews with some of the biggest stars in wrestling today, and yes, even...
Oh my God!
The leader of Team Gooch himself, Mick 37. That's every Wednesday and Saturday night, 7 p.m. Central Time. And of course, for pay-per-views, 2 hours before every pay-per-view for wrestling. www.longtalkradio.com/WGS Radio. We'll see you there.
back to the Sports Opinion Show with your host, Matt Alfred.
And we are back right here on the Sports Opinion Show. It's Matt Alvarez, of course, being joined by his good friend Eric Williams. Eric, you still doing all right over there?
Yep.
How's the weather over there?
That's all right.
It's all right. Nice and sunny over here. I'm enjoying it. Love it. Let's see. Where do we begin? Well, a lot of craziness for wrestling news, like I said before the break. As multiple members of WWE creative staff, or more their assistants, it's been really crazy of what they have to do. Because the opening, you know, stuff has to deal with everything. That, you know, it's just what they need to do and how they have to run the shows. And it relates to Seth Rollins, Dean Ambrose, and Roman Reigns. They will be likely known as The Shield, because the WWE Spanish announcer Marcelo Rodriguez wrote on Twitter on Monday night, "The Shield, remember that name. I have a feeling that they will be as big or bigger than the Nexus or the Core," is what he said. Those were his words. That was a translation of what he said. He also said that they, when they attacked Ryback at Survivor Series, they had badges that also said The Shield on them, which they did. We'll get into the Survivor Series as well. A search of WWE's trademark did not turn up anything for The Shield, though. Over the weekend, WWE's Gerald Briscoe was scouting amateur wrestler Chad Hank. Hank is currently a senior at Oregon State and was ranked number 16 nationally going into this season. At this time, he is just under 200 pounds, but he is looking to give up and move up to heavyweight. Big E Lanson, Bray Waite, and his brother Bo Dallas could also be in line to be brought up to the main event roster for WWE. Earlier this week, Bray Waite tweeted 2 months of Raw, which is probably a sign that he could be debuting in early 2013. It is also rumored that the tag team The Ascension, which is Connor O'Brien and Kenneth Cameron, could be called up to Raw soon also. They are considered a polished act, missing their concept of things and what they're doing. They have been developing a moveset that uses a lot of double team moves used by some classic 1980s heel tag team. And check this out. WWE's Brad Maddox posted on Twitter last week that he was going to have the Brad Maddox Experience on YouTube. He has posted a few videos so far, but in episode 3 of his online show, some wrestling analysts and others, I can't speak on it as a wrestling analyst because I haven't seen it. I think I will check that out this weekend, but they say that episode 3 of Brad Maddox's videos with his online show, I think this time they said he's gone too far. Because he shows a naked Rosa Mendez, or a Rosa Mendez lookalike, getting dressed. Also in episode 4, he shows Kelly Kelly, or a lookalike of Kelly Kelly, in a towel, and a naked AJ Lee, or her lookalike as well. And Alicia Fox, and you get the picture, in her bra and panties. Maddox says the footage was caught via hidden camera. But here's the kicker. Rosa Mendez has responded via Twitter at Brad Maddox, she said, you know, this is not a nice move to get more followers. She said, you are a nobody, and you will always be a nobody. If you're going to make a fake video, find someone hotter. Because I look nothing like that. You are such a loser. You burn bridges with the wrong diva, she said. But here's an update. An even bigger kick. You want a real kick and a real laugh out of this? Even though she tweeted all those things about him. Check this. Listen to this. Because according to some other sources, the Brad Maddox shows were not legitimate and were made up of locker room shots. Edited into the older episodes of a YouTube series that Maddox posted months before joining WWE at all. Whoever posted the videos is also responding as if they are Brad Maddox. But it's probably not him. Because in the comment section on the YouTube page, many assumed it was real due to the fact that Roach Mendez responded to the video on Twitter. Mendez's reaction to the videos were legitimate, but Maddox was not the one that posted the videos. The videos have been pulled due to copyright claims by WWE and YouTube, mostly. Well, maybe Rosa Mendez should issue an apology. Well, we've got coffee, and all you guys have jumped into the chat room. On the day after Thanksgiving, we will have our turkey award coming up soon. Just stay tuned for that. Coffee, you're right. Coffee said in the chat room, he said that these divas, they just take up space. They're space fillers. They should be naked all the time, just because it's the only way anyone wants to actually see them. Well, Coffee, you're in luck. Candice Michelle and Tori Wilson and a few other former wrestling women from WWE and some who formerly worked for Impact Wrestling. Notice I didn't use the word TNA Wrestling. Because as of 2 weeks ago, Hulk Hogan got rid of that name. He wanted to just be called Impact. Well, if you want to hear more about that, just go back on this channel from 2 weeks ago and download that episode, and you'll hear my rant on that and how it's not good at all, but that's Hulk Hogan for you. And there are several reasons for WWE turning the Miz babyface. Because you know how he's always been a heel and a self-centered, cocky son of a bitch, right? Well, they felt that, well, we can't actually sell what we want to sell for the Miz and get him some extra money in his pocket. And no, it's not coming from t-shirt or sales ads or anything else. Normally that would be their driving focus, and it wouldn't matter if he was a bad guy or a good guy in wrestling. The only reason they're doing this now and making him a true babyface is that, number one, Miz has two movies coming out next year, and it would be damn harder to promote them if he's a heel. That's WWE's feeling on this. Number two, fans have really been getting behind him in recent months anyways, cheering him on as though he's won the World Series or a major title, which he hasn't had a title shot at all other than being the Intercontinental title during the summer. Of course, that was taken away from him at SummerSlam, for those of you that remember. Number three, and like I said earlier, well, he's played a self-annoying, self-centered jerk for most of his career. However, his love and passion of the business comes through, and WWE says they appreciate that. on to the Extreme Rising pay-per-view. Yeah, you're right. You're right, Coffee. Coffee said that the Miz is just like Chris Jericho. Even though people boo him, you don't really want to boo him because you know he'll eventually come out and their character traits are the same. So, yeah, Chris Jericho has a lot in common with the Miz here. So maybe Jericho should come out of band retirement with his band and team up with the Miz for a while, for a few months. Yeah, see, I just got my booking ideas. Vince McMahon, if you're listening, write that down. Take notes. Use it. For those of you, like I said, that saw the Extreme Rising pay-per-view, man, that was an amazing, amazing pay-per-view last Saturday. I'm not sure if DDP saw it. I know many of you probably went online and saw this awesome wrestling pay-per-view that was available online at ExtremeRising.com. But the reality and the seriousness of the pay-per-view came hours after the pay-per-view went offline last Saturday night. Because much like when John Cena had tripped up on Raw, which is a legitimate thing, by the way, that's not a storyline, same thing happened to Facecade last Saturday at the Extreme Rising pay-per-view. For those of you that saw, he was just, you know, he took his time getting to the back room. And they were trying to hurry it along because it's, well, the Extreme Rising, the people that produced the Extreme Rising pay-per-view online on their website, they're actually with the same company that's been helping ROH do their shows on their website, provided by the same online pay-per-view buyer. And for some reason, this pay-per-view buyer just likes to hurry things along. Hurry up, hurry up. But they couldn't just tell Facecade to hurry up and get his ass to the back room. The reason why he took his time, and you could tell that something was wrong because of the pain on his face, but at the same time, you really didn't know what was happening. That's because he broke a bone in his foot at the Extreme Rising pay-per-view last Saturday night. New Jack also suffered a hairline fracture on his right heel and foot at the same time, all in the same match with Jerry Lynn. Because after diving from the balcony through a table, he also suffered deep bruises of his thigh, ribs, and his kidney. All that from trying to take out Jerry Lynn, but of course, you know, that's been Jerry Lynn's theme this year because, well, it's sad to say, and I know you guys, maybe you already heard about this, but if you're just hearing it for the first time from me personally, you're going to hear the truth. And the truth of it is, and it hurts me to say this too, because I like Jerry Lynn. The reason why everyone is taking the more dangerous risk, or in storyline terms, they can have the most way of losing more than Jerry Lynn, like if it was to talk trash and let's say that one of you would be willing to look retarded or stupid if Jerry Lynn got in your face and did a promo back on you after you doing a promo on him and you didn't say anything. That's because Jerry Lynn is going to hang it up, ladies and gentlemen. Jerry Lynn is going to every state, literally, every state, Coffee. Every state, DDP. and got 12 more states to go before February 12th, I believe it is. After February 12th, or sometime in February, he's calling it quits. He's done. So that's why New Jack took the fall and not Jerry Lynn. The next Extreme Rising show is set for December 29th. And I know a lot of you that are in the chat room right now, a lot of you listening on, if you're listening on iTunes, get ready for this. The next Extreme Rising pay-per-view show will be December 29th, like I said, in Philadelphia. The city of brotherly love. And a state that's prominent for violence with these pay-per-view shows. You can all get to, you all live closer to the, than I do to Philadelphia. You lucky bastards. All of you. I'm serious. Set to appear on the December 29th shows are D-Von Storm, Stevie Richards, Luke Hawk. Yes, Luke Hawk. You haven't seen him in a long time on television. He used to be on television for a long time. Another guy who's not on television will also be there. Coffee's best friend, Rhino. Rhino will be... Luke and Rhino are going to have this final tournament for their Extreme Rising title championship that they have on the line. And that will all take place on December 29th. Mark that on your calendars if you are planning to go, if you're in the Philadelphia area, ladies and gentlemen. Yes, we know Coffee. We know that Vince... fucked up everything. Now, let's get into, you know, let's do this. Let's pause for a second. The Turkey Award for 2012, the worst performance of the year, goes to Bud Sealing. Let's give him a round of applause. Because you didn't deliver on some players and some Major League Baseball teams, and, well, you still haven't figured out how to deal with the Dodgers mess. That is Turkey Award number one. Turkey Award number two is also, when I say number one and number two, I don't mean that they're first and second place winners on this Turkey Awards special that we're doing here. Actually, think of it, I'll put it in terms you can understand. What I'm actually doing is putting them in last place. And who will be number one? For either good or bad reasons. The second to last place winner, we'll do it that way, Roger Goodell. For trying to copy Bud Sealing. Well, we need to get rid of the instant replay system, yes. We're the only ones that have thought of that idea. When no, Major League Baseball did before you did. And now you're paraded around showing up at any football game you want just so you can get your ass on TV. Really, Roger Goodell, do you need to be on TV? Everybody knows who you are. take a page out of Vince McMahon's playbook and show up once or twice a year. Now you show up at all these damn football games, and then the media wants you. They want to ask you some questions. I thought you were that type of boss who would be like, leave me alone, I'm busy. I have meetings to attend to, not out here to talk with you, but... Turkey Award number 3, which we're still doing last place. Go to Dixie Carter for at least trying to stay in the TV-14 male demographics and provide us all the blood and all the violence that we need. Don't you need violence? The day after Thanksgiving, and you're listening to the Sports Opinion Show, and I know you're hungry for more, don't worry. We've got those other place givers for Turkey Awards. Dixie Carter got the best one, so we'll say she gets first place for doing a good job, somewhat. Don't worry, I've got an award for Hulk Hogan too, but it's not for being good, it's for being really stupid and really terrible. But anyways, let's get into this first. The Survivor Series pay-per-view was and is a concept of our imagination, ladies and gentlemen. Our imagination. And the reason why I say that, it has to do with the Turkey Awards. Because in real life, as we saw last week on Raw, that when Vince McMahon and Vicky Guerrero were out there and just saying stuff out of their mouth on how they were going to change this pay-per-view last week, no, we're not having a Survivor Series traditional team-style tournament. It will now be John Cena versus Ryback versus CM Punk in a triple threat match. Are you okay with that, Vicky Guerrero? Because if you're not, I will fire you right here on the spot. That wasn't scripted. That wasn't planned. And you could tell with the look on Vicky's face, I'm going to be fired if I don't give Vince McMahon the answer that he wants. She's like, well, you're the true boss, and John Cena can, yes, I think he needs to be in the championship match, yes. Clearly she didn't want that, but that's what Vince wanted, which makes it a whole lot better. But when he said that we don't need a Survivor Series elimination match anymore, they confused everybody, and that's why I said that we are the ones who have perpetuated this with a pay-per-view. If you saw the pre-show, you know that, you know, the primetime players did not get what they wanted on YouTube, which was the pre-show. All the pre-show epics before the actual pay-per-view take place on YouTube now. Oh, and speaking of YouTube... I've got a turkey award for the YouTube bastards that couldn't even contemplate the actual Survivor Series pay-per-view, and I'll talk about that after we do this rundown. But let's pretend that the actual pay-per-view started, the pre-show on YouTube is over, it's now time to turn to our television sets or online for free. As I always tell you, don't pay Vince McMahon your damn money for these pay-per-views. They cost too damn much. Watching them for free on the internet. I know, Vince hates that. But tell him if he has a problem with it, if he comes to your house He knocks on your damn door. Well, you know, he's a go-getter guy anyway. He likes to kick people's doors down. You can sue him and make him buy you a new door. And simple as that. And then tell him that I told you it was okay to download pay-per-views and watch them for free on the internet rather than buying his pay-per-views himself for us. The three-man band, it was Jinder Mahal, Heath Slater. It wasn't really a three-man band because the third member injured himself at a house show last weekend. So it was only, technically, in this case, it's a two-man band. They took on the team of Zack Ryder and Santino Marella. Heath and Jinder, they won by cheating, in essence, to keep the referee distracted and doing referee distraction deals. That's what they did. Then the traditional Survivor Series match. Brodus Clay, Justin Gabriel, Tyson Kidd, Rey Mysterio, Sin Cara took on Darren Young, Titus O'Neil, and Tensai. The winners, of course, were Rey Mysterio, Sin Cara, Justin Gabriel, and Tyson Kidd. This was a great back and forth match. You had a little bit of everything in this match. The first traditional Survivor Series on this card presented unique elements that had to do with a little bit of violence, which was Justin Gabriel going off against Darren Young. Because those two have the extreme type style, and that's their game plan. You also had a little bit of technical wrestling, as it involved Tyson Kidd taking on Sin Cara. Then you had the luchador style people in there. Justin Gabriel and Rey Mysterio, when those two got tagged in, it became animalistic magic, because then everybody was wrestling their own way. Of course, then when the action spilled out into the ring and the referee lost control there for a while, then it became a little bit of everything, of violence, technical wrestling, luchador-style wrestling. And you started to believe it. This is the way a pay-per-view is supposed to go. The WWE Divas title match, Caitlyn took on Eve Torres. Eve is the winner. Now, I've mentioned this before. Why WWE only allows their women wrestlers, I mean, look at any other promotion. You don't see the promoter going, okay, ladies, you've got 3.5 minutes. 3.5 minutes. Not enough time to wrestle. Not even enough time to get to the finish. To get to a 1-2-3. Well, that's all the time I'm giving you. Why do you give them substantial less time to wrestle on a pay-per-view when it's a pay-per-view, Vince? Vince McMahon, you think you're gonna lose money if you allow people to wrestle longer? No, you're not. You're going to gain more. I thought you wanted more money. Somebody obviously needs to take over Vince McMahon's empire immediately. Coffee, tell Vince McMahon that you're the new CEO, okay? Just take his job. What do you mean much time? You remember what happened at SummerSlam, Coffee? Those ladies only had 2 minutes. And no, I'm not talking about the stupid clock that Vince likes to throw up there sometime for these time trials. I'm talking about in real time at SummerSlam, they only got 2 minutes. Exactly. That's what I mean. See, because Vince does it, this is how Vince calculates when you start wrestling, which is really, really stupid. Check this out. From the time your music, well, your music entrance doesn't count. The time you actually come out of that curtain and start walking down the ramp, that's when Vince and WWE management counts your time, which is really, really stupid. The time you should actually start wrestling should actually count when you get in the ring, when the referee rings the bell. That's when your wrestling time should start. What? Coffee, are you crazy today? Do you need to take some violent drugs? Ladies and gentlemen, not that I know anything about violent drugs for coffee. We don't even live in the same state. I'm not a drug supplier. Don't start thinking that. Don't you remember the other thing that I told you about over the summer? That you were really, really happy about? Come on, Coffee. I know you remember what I told you. I told everybody. I told the entire world that, and even the one in charge of this channel, Roger, he even called in that day. Remember? And I told you and him and everybody listening about the mud wrestling, about the bikini wrestling. They started a bikini wrestling federation. I forgot what state that was because that was back in the summertime. I don't have those notes now. But, hey, bikini wrestling, you might as well just take it all off, you know? But, yeah, you know, anyways, these women deserve more. I mean, hey, the champions or the pre-champions, or at least the number one contenders, guys that are not even champions, they get 15, 20 minutes at a time. For example, let's go to the next match. The World Heavyweight Championship, Sheamus versus The Big Show, was an outstanding, violent, brutal confrontation. Of course, it didn't start getting brutal until after things happened. After The Big Show had won. And you say, well, how did that happen? Well, in case you didn't see this pay-per-view, after the match, because, like I said, things got crazy. Sheamus goes for a brogue kick. This is the third attempt that he had tried to do the brogue kick to The Big Show. But The Big Show pulled the referee in the way and instead Scott Armstrong. Yes, Scott Armstrong. Now let's take another pause because you're probably saying, well, Matt, you told just 2 weeks ago that Scott Armstrong, his brother, all the entire Armstrong family, they lost their youngest brother. He had to go to a funeral and all that. That's because the other thing about Vince, I don't understand it. That's the other thing about Vince that I don't like, and a lot of people don't like either, if you know this stuff. And that is, he'll tell you, well, go ahead. Don't worry about coming back to work. We're sorry about your loss. Oh, but then when it comes crunch time, and just because he needs more damn referees to foil into his storyline, oh, you got to come back to work. But Vince, you told me not to worry about work. You said, I just had a death in my family. Come back to work, damn it, or you're fired. Which is really an echoed sentiment that he echoes on television. The same thing he echoes in real life. But nonetheless, Scott Armstrong is back. They picked up the storyline back where he was at originally. So believe it or not, Scott Armstrong is kind of in the same position that, of course, Brad Maddox is in. And the other main referee that's been there for many years is now in now in Impact Wrestling. Of course, I'm talking about Earl Hebner. Scott Armstrong and Brad Maddox will now be the new faces. Brian Maddox for Raw, Scott Armstrong for SmackDown, to be the most controversial referees that they can be. And so Dr. Samson, he came into the ring to check on Armstrong. Other referees had come down. Sheamus had also checked on Scott Armstrong, and he's like, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to kick you. I was trying to kick the Big Show. And after he said, I'm sorry, he was like, crap, I can't do anything about this. He got up, and as soon as he turned around, he turned around only to receive a knockout. The Weapons of Mass Destruction punch from the Big Show for the win. Of course, after the match, another referee goes to Justin Roberts, and it's suddenly announced, shockingly, that the Big Show has been disqualified, and now Sheamus is the winner. After this announcement, Show jumped over the ropes, jumped out of the ring, and got in the referee's face. He called Mike Chioda a dumbass. Other officials are still checking on Scott Armstrong during this time in the ring. The Show kept bullying the referee, all of them, and Sheamus grabbed a steel chair, and this is where it became violent. Sheamus hit Big Show with the chair from behind and unloads on him, just wails on him. And Big Show begged for him to stop. Then Sheamus started taking several shots at Big Show's leg. And he just kept going to this leg and going to the leg. And like Jerry Lawler said on Monday Night Raw, you cannot count, even if you were to slow the video down in real time. I wish I could give this a Turkey Award, but you can't give it the day after Turkey Award, because I can't even, if Jerry Lawler couldn't count how many chair shots he took, I don't think any of you or myself, for those of us that saw this pay-per-view on Sunday, can't even count how many chair shots that Sheamus gave the Big Show. But anyways, he laid out Big Show with the Brogue Kick. And what was wrong with you people that were there live at this pay-per-view? I give you guys Turkey Award for those of you that were actually at this pay-per-view live in person in the arena. You kind of get a good Turkey Award. How does 15th place sound? Because I don't know what happened or how it happened, but they're escorting the Big Show, helping him to the back because of the massive chair shots he took from Sheamus. And everybody's looking at Big Show and points to him and goes, "We want Ziggler. We want Ziggler." One guy, I heard him as the cameraman passed him up. He was in I guess, the first or second row there by the ring entrance. And then, yeah, come on, Ziggler. You're not hurt, you big lung chunk piece of crap. You can get back in the ring. Challenge Sheamus again. And I was like, you idiot. His name is not Ziggler. His name is The Big Show. What are you, drunk? You must be, if you got his name wrong. But all these other people, I even saw some kids calling The Big Show Ziggler. I didn't get that at all. At all. I didn't understand that one. We had our second traditional Survivor Series match. Then Vince McMahon had tried to tell the world that the Survivor Series things are not going to happen. Yes, they are going to happen. It was a lot of confusion, really. Anyways, the match consisted of Team Foley taking on Team Ziggler. Actually, it was Alberto Del Rio, Damian Sandow, David Otunga, Wade Barrett, and Dolph Ziggler versus Kane, Daniel Bryan, Kofi Kingston, The Miz, and Randy Orton. Team Ziggler is your winner, thanks to Randy Orton. And that really wasn't a memorable traditional Survivor Series match anyways. Then finally we had our triple threat for the WWE Championship, John Cena versus Ryback versus CM Punk. And of course, as we all do, anytime John Cena comes into whatever state we live in, and if you're 25 and older like me, and you grew up and you know what wrestling is, you have the right to boo Cena, to tell him how he sucks and how he's not and never has been a real wrestler. He's not even an Olympic gold medalist like Kurt Angle. How did WWE draft this guy, you wonder? That all started back in 2003. We just saw this white boy rapper coming onto the scene like Eminem. Of course, he was no Eminem. He was just his own purely stained self. But still, to this day, from the day that he debuted at the Survivor Series, this past Sunday was when he debuted at the 2003 Survivor Series. Came out and he had actually helped Coffee's friend, Chris Jericho. No, just kidding. But he helped Jericho, and hey, that was how he got started. But still to this day, he only has two moves. Everybody else has got, like, you know, 6 offensive moves and 10 defensive moves. But he's the one that told the writers back in 2003, this will work. Everybody will be okay with me having only 3 moves and the fact that I'm not a real wrestler. He even publicly told Vince, in the words of Shawn Michaels' song, I will be your boy toy, Vince. And that's why they started investing money in him. But anyways, this became, it looks like a new era in WWE because they finally realized that they didn't need to just work the people up until the main event. We don't need to work the people. We need to ride it out with the people. And that's what they did. And when they worked with the audience, when they worked with us and saw how we were responding, whether how many times Josh Matthews and Michael Cole said at the pay-per-view, you know, send us your tweets and your touts right now as this pay-per-view is going on. They said, well, we think this and this and that should happen in the main event. But almost everybody agreed and thought that John Cena would be the WWE champion. That did not happen. It looked like Ryback was going to win, like I said. It looked like Ryback was seriously going to win. When all of a sudden, 3 jackasses dressed in black, all black, rushed the ring. They beat Ryback down. And they rolled him out of the ring. Of course, it was none other than NXT stars Roman Reigns, Dean Ambrose, and Seth Rollins. And they powerbombed Ryback through the announcer's table. Punk crawls up back in the ring and he covers John Cena for the win. CM Punk is still the WWE champion. And of course, you know, as with it on Raw, as we jump to Monday Night Raw, it continued. And I hope this trend continues, because this is how you work the fans. See, they waited and waited and decided, we're going to let this go on. We like this. We feel something from this. And so now you have the debut of these NXT guys. Seth Rollins and our very own from here in California, so congratulations, even though he's playing a heel. Well, before we go on to our next Turkey Award, and before we jump into Raw, let's see who this is on the phone lines. Hello, who am I speaking with?
Good afternoon, man.
Good afternoon.
And welcome. Welcome to the Stalling Effect.
It's none other than Jay Stahl. What is this, the Stalling Effect?
Well,
you stall people at the door?
No,
not let them
I
in your house?
People at the door. Wait a minute, don't start barraging me with attacks, because I decided to come and grace your show with my appearance. Once of a lifetime, you know, I'm star-studded quality. I don't just randomly appear on people's shows just to do it for my health. I do it just to see how you're doing, to see how the show is going, to get my input, to bring star quality back.
So how are you doing?
I'm great, Matt. How are you?
Good. How was your Thanksgiving?
It was stuffed.
Good. How many plates did you
great.
Eat?
Huh?
I said, how many plates did you eat?
How many plates?
Yeah, how many times did you go back for seconds? I went back for seconds 3 times. That means I had 3 plates.
Well, I wouldn't call it seconds. I called it thirds.
Okay,
no,
then,
I
so.
Actually had 2 plates. I had 2 plates. Cutting
back. Oh, so you couldn't make it to the 3rd, 4th, or 5th plate, huh? You gave up?
No. I don't eat 5th plates or 4th plates. I might have gone back for 3rds, but I won't go back for 4ths or 5ths.
yeah, that's... Well, AJ Stahl, that's how it is on Thanksgiving.
Yeah, it was a very good Thanksgiving for me and for some, you know, I don't know if you talked about this earlier or not, you know, some NFL teams.
Yes, we got into that.
Did you play the games yesterday?
Yes, I did. It was very, very good. Very good football.
Yes. I hope you don't mind me throwing this out there, but the Jets are ass. And if you're a Jets fan, you're ass too.
And why do you say that?
Why do I say that? Anytime you take a 49-19 loss at home, that just means you're ass. There's no way around it. At
yeah,
home.
I know. It was a really bad game, you know?
It was one of the worst games I ever saw in my professional career as a commentator. That's right, Matt. I have joined the commentating crew.
Really?
Yes, I have. Sports
well,
uprise.
Good. Congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you, sir. That's why I'm gracing you with my appearance now, before I'm no longer able to come on other people's shows.
Well, let me ask you this.
Anytime.
And if you need to think about it, you can think about it during this commercial break. But if you have a quick answer, then we'll go ahead and take your answer right now. What did you think of Ed Reed being suspended again? Ah, we lost him. We lost AJ Stahl. Good grief. I was trying to get to it. I wanted to hear his opinion on this. That's okay. I know he's calling in from Skype. Well, we'll get into this. We only got time for Raw anyways, because yours truly wasn't home to watch TNA Impact. I mean, Impact Wrestling. We're going to finish up Raw, get into some more Turkey Awards. Who was number one for Turkey Awards? Whether it was good or bad. You probably can guess who I placed at number one. Number one of our Turkey Awards. It's the symbol of this show for this episode today and today only. How will it fare and who is the best?
Don't worry, the Sports Opinion Show will be back after a brief message from our friends here on the MDB Media Network.
Hi, sports fans. As you all know, there's lots of stuff happening here on MDB Media, and here on our sports channel, Sports Talk with the Guys, we've just debuted a brand new program, The Five Tool Show. Carell Cooper and Tanya Mikado keep it real from the East Coast, and that's on every Tuesday at 6 p.m. Pacific Time. Of course, Matt Alvarez and The Sports Opinion Show is on every Friday at 1 p.m. Pacific Time. Sports Talk with the Guys Saturday Morning Extravaganza is on at 6 a.m. Pacific Time, part of the 5-hour block of sports on Blog Talk Radio. Tune into that for additional details. And don't forget to catch the Big Dog every Monday and Thursday at 8 p.m. Pacific Time. Head on over to ndbmedia.com. Join the community. Join the conversation. See you on the other side.
Hold on, slow down, it's getting from the top now, and tell me everything.
folks. I'm Roger Noriega from NDB Media. Just want to give you a taste of our schedule. All times are Pacific. Sunday at 2:30 p.m. ADD Tangent. Rave at 6. DJ and Eli in the evening at 8. This week on NDB Media at 9. On Monday, 6:30 a.m. Fantasy Extra. Then at 4 p.m. D-Space Jeff. 8 p.m. Sports Talk with the Guys, Weekend Edition. On Tuesday, 6 p.m. The Five Tool Show. At 7, Tuesday Night America. At 8, Fandom Access. On Wednesday at 9 a.m., Bertone Beatles Bonanza. At 4, A Gal for All Seasons. 5, Tri-State Sports Guys. On the first Wednesday, Comics 101. On the last Wednesday, Eclectic Offerings. On Thursday at 4 p.m., twice a week, Classic Trek with Sam and Dave. 5 p.m., Travelitch Radio. At 7 p.m., Edge of Reality. Friday, 6:30 a.m., Fantasy Extra. 1 p.m., Sports Opinion Show with Matt Alvarez. Raise Your Glass is on at 5. Your Mental Health Radio is on at 6. On Saturday, Sports Talk with the Guys Extravaganza. And then Runaway Mind on the third Saturday. Lots of stuff going on. NDBmedia.net, twitter.com/NDBmedia.
And now, we return back to the Sports Opinion Show with your host, Matt Alvarez.
Yes, we are back right here on the Turkey Award edition of the Sports Opinion Show, which we will get into very, very shortly. Now, as I was saying before the commercial break, we had our good friend and former co-host AJ Stahl call in, but we lost some feed from Skype. I hope you call back, AJ. Please, I wanted to get your opinion on that sports matter that I had asked you about. But we'll see what happens before the show goes off the air in 20 minutes. Well, WWE Raw had presented, Raw from Dayton, Ohio. Now, this was a real interesting treat because the fans finally saw everything they needed to see. Now, you know what? Here's my thing about this. It doesn't just have to take place because it's someplace special. And the only person it was special to is the guy bewildering and beholding CM Punk up like a legitimate champion. And that guy is Paul Heyman. Because Dayton, Ohio was the very first, one of the many stopping grounds to take place with the original ECW, and its legacy was great pay-per-view annex. If one of his many pay-per-views had actually taken place in Dayton, Ohio. I remember that pay-per-view like it was yesterday, but anyways, here we go. Ryback wanted some payback. He said that he would be willing to do anything to take out the three jackasses that kicked his ass, he was talking about Sunday night, last night at the Survivor Series pay-per-view. He said, and it's going to be their own vendetta because he's going to have them chant what everybody else is chanting, and that is, feed me more. But of course, the so-called managing supervisor, Vicky Guerrero, came out and said that no such thing would take place within Ryback's life or in context of tonight's show. She said if that happens, you will be suspended or fined. CM Punk's celebration party will go on with balloons and everything else, but you're not advised to come out here at all, unless you want a fine or suspension. But if you really want to set yourself up for things, you can take on this man, and out comes Tensai. Tentai and Ryback, they have their distinct values, but at the same time, this is really a catcher's-catch-can style type match that they had. And it was built on, we're both big, big guys, but can we really, really pull it off, pull off wrestling-wise like the smaller guys do? Like the cruiserweights and the unscripted cruiserweights, guys like Zach Gowan, who were really, really, really short. I mean, we could go shorter as to midget wrestling, but that would never work because these are big guys. And you know what? They were able to pull it off. I applaud them on that. Kofi Kingston and Wade Barrett, that was another match. Oh, by the way, Ryback was the winner. He did. He showed how pissed off he was, and he took care of Tentai, but still, the show was great, bar none. The best Raw so far, probably going to be the only good Raw, but they have to keep this momentum going. They really do. But Wade Barrett is your winner. He took out Kofi Kingston. Caitlyn took on Aksana. Caitlyn's the winner. And they actually gave them more time on Raw to actually wrestle each other than they did at the pay-per-view. It's amazing to me that you would give two female wrestlers who were just in their own state of mind the previous night at the pay-per-view, you go to Monday Night Raw on television, and they're back at it again, only this time it's not multiple women in the ring. It's just Caitlyn. It's just Aksana. And these women, they had taking themselves to another level of women's wrestling. And I applaud Vince McMahon for that. No, you're not getting the number one year Turkey of the Year award. No, no, no. But I applaud you for actually letting them wrestle longer than 3 minutes. They have a full 15.75 seconds of wrestling time. But Caitlyn is the winner, but it was a good match. Brodus Clay even came out and he took on Antonio Cesaro. Antonio Cesaro is the winner. And the rest of the night even looked more promising when Vicky Guerrero, of course, came back again. And she said that this time there would be no chance in hell, using Vince McMahon's catchphrases, I see, to muster up this AJ John Cena controversy that she had claimed was actually, there was proof behind it, that AJ and John Cena were having an affair, which has been going on for some time now. This is the redundant buildup of what the writers are looking for, and this is their way, like what I said over the summer. During the summer, I said that, remember we had that report that said that WWE does not want John Cena to be WWE champion anymore. They want someone younger. Someone with more height experience. And that's where you enter CM Punk. But you could tell that these people had never, ever in their life, this man and this woman that Vicky Guerrero came to the ring with, that they had never, ever been in a wrestling ring, much less delivered a damn promo. Now, I've got my friend ProWrestlingWorld.net looking this up as we speak. They're going to try and figure out who these two people are. Because everybody I've asked so far, I've asked them, have you seen them on the independent circuit? Where did this guy and this girl come from? That's the only way you get on Raw is if you're seen somewhere on the independent circuit. And if WWE likes you or likes your style or whatever, they'll call you up and say, come do a trial with us for Monday Night Raw for one night. And we'll pay you. A lot more than the independent promotion will pay you, I'm sure. I know that for a fact. But nobody can find out anything. I've even tried to find out. Putting their faces with their names on Google, and that didn't even work. I mean, is WWE trying to seriously go behind our backs and find these people and just put them in wrestling situations? Don't worry, there's something to come out of that in just a minute about that too. But this one's awesome. 2 out of 3 falls match. Alberto Del Rio versus Randy Orton. They tore the house down. They tore the Raw set completely in disarray. Randy Orton, though, is your winner. The Great Khali took on Primo and Epico because, well, they made a statement at the pay-per-view. Remember the pre-show before the pay-per-view went live? The pre-show, they said, well, now that we've taken care of what we needed to take care of in this tag team match, we want to issue a challenge, a public challenge, to the Great Khali for a 2-on-1 handicap match. You'd be like, are you out of your mind? You know how big Khali is? He will crush you. He will squash you like a bug and use his finger to flicker you off in the air and send you thousands of miles away, which is almost what he did on Raw, but not quite. David Otunga then took on The Miz. The Miz is your winner. They probably saying, well, didn't you say last week that David Otunga was not scheduled to appear on Raw? Yeah, but that's the thing about Vince. If he feels he's too short staffed to have people do wrestling matches and stuff like that, you have somebody, you know, like if it was DDP. If my good friend in the chat room, DDP, was working for Vince, and he'd call DDP up and say, well, can you come to the show tonight? Just be backstage. Well, you can come dressed up and all that, like some of them do. And then if he realizes he wants to do something last minute, DDP? Yes, sir. What do you need? Put on your wrestling clothes, please. Your match is next. Okay. That's why there's so many people backstage, because it's just, Vince McMahon has never lost his mind like this. That's because he's getting older. It's time for somebody, like I said earlier, to take over. Sheamus versus Damian Sandow. Sheamus is the winner because, hey, Sheamus had been waiting in the parking lot, much like he was on Sunday. He was also in another parking lot stint a few years ago at the King of the Ring. So he's still doing the parking lot thing, and he just wanted the big show, but, well, it never happened. Sin Cara and Rey Mysterio took on Kane and Daniel Bryan. But really, this was a shitless match because it never actually took place, never took off, because CM Punk came out and he interrupted proceedings and said that it was time for him to do his 365 days of being champion. Clear as day to the atrocity of everyone in Dayton, Ohio. Paul Heyman, of course, told the crowd, don't boo me just because I used to do ECW shows here in Dayton, Ohio. This is now a poor city because there's no more ECW. I don't know where that last part of that promo came from. I mean, we do know. It came from the stupid-ass writers. And this is just what took place. And then, of course, John Cena and Ryback came out, and they figured that they could deal with CM Punk on their own and just take care of it. But no, the three jackasses again putter hurting on all three of them. And when they finally got to Ryback again, they did the same thing they did on Sunday night. They completely tore the front of the arena apart, and they opened up the announce table, and they smashed him through it. And they actually did a better job of doing a mug-type assault on Ryback on Monday than they did on Sunday night at the pay-per-view. You know how you get, if you've ever been mugged or robbed before, you know it's not a good feeling. And that's the look that Ryback had on his face. And he sold everything. From the fake punches to the kick to the groin. The kicks are real, actually. When they took him up to the top rope and they slammed, they body press slammed him thanks to Seth Rollins hard onto the mat, but then he got up and, you know, he did spear one of them and made, you know, the crowd started chanting, feed me more, feed me more. And for a while it worked, but he was to get the upper hand and they did it again. They smashed him through the announce table again. And then Michael Cole said, what is this guy's agenda here? How could they just assault John Cena and Ryback, but never attack our WWF champion? That's a good question. Michael Cole, you get a Turkey of the Year award for 2012 for finally asking a real legitimate question. The other thing that I appreciated was that both Sunday and Monday, both times, Michael Cole, Jerry Lawler, and they invited Jim Ross to come down at the pay-per-view, and all three of them had agreed, and because he said it again on Monday, these guys are from our developmental system down south, and they're also a part of our NXT program here, but damn it, this is crazy. They actually acknowledged Florida Championship Wrestling as their school of etiquette for teaching people. I think Vince is finally learning, and he's finally listening to my shows, I guess. And do I really care if he listens or not? No. Do I really care about any other stupid-ass billionaire that has millions of dollars and all they care about is money? No. Because Turkey of the Year award, we've done eight of them so far. The ninth one goes, which is actually getting close to first place, but it's not really number one, to Hulk Hogan. And this is a bad one. You get totally, totally last place, Hulk Hogan. For as long as you've been with Impact Wrestling, yes, it is now officially, that's the new trademark. Only if you're in WWE or TNA, you can actually look it up and find out what the trademark is. But that really is the trademark now. Let's see, when you first came in, Hogan, you got rid of the six-sided ring. You patted yourself on the back and said, the six-sided ring never existed in my day. But then you see Hogan in these interviews on TV and stuff, and where he says, you know, I endorse change. I applaud change. Well, his interviews are the same as Vince McMahon's. They're phony and arrogant, when in real life he's like, I don't like this change. No. That can never, ever change. Look, some things in wrestling need to stay with the old school agenda. But our interpretation we the wrestling people, our interpretation of old school, it's not going to be the same old school as what Hulk Hogan likes to think. He'll turn it around and say something completely different and tell us that that's not old school. What we think and feel is old school is not. Because he'll probably tell us how many titles he's won and how long he's been in the wrestling business. Some 40-something fucking odd years, yes, we know. But don't take your aggression and your non-appearance to change against us. That's what he did with the six-sided ring. He got rid of it, and we got pissed off when we booed him. And we had a right to when he did that, because he took our old school, well, actually, let me rephrase that. He took our new school and said that six-sided rings, it's never existed and it never will. But the six-sided ring was there, presented by Dixie Carter and her family way before he even came into the door. So you get a bad Turkey of the Year award, Hulk Hogan. You suck. And now you put it in the ear of Dixie Carter, who is the owner. She could fire you at any time, but we know she's not. Dixie Carter is so soft-spoken with Hulk Hogan. She gets rough with everybody else, but when it comes to Hulk Hogan, she respects him. She lets him make his own rules on anything he wants. Why are you giving him this, Dixie? And like I've been saying throughout the show, his idea was consecrated to change the name. We don't need to be called TNA Wrestling anymore. It's not appropriate. We would just now be called, let's get into the clear communication channels, and this is our new trademark name. We are now simply Impact Wrestling. Does anybody in this management team have a problem with that? And the only reason that they say no is because Dixie Carter probably told them to say no. She probably pulled all the managers aside. Look, this is the best for our company as a promotion. And it's not. Dixie Carter gets a bad Turkey of the Award too. The number one Turkey of the Award goes to Vince McMahon for this. Because opening Raw broadcast with a man narrating video packages after some video footage was shown of Teenage Wrestling voiceover show that he actually informed of the concept by an employee. And upon being intrigued, immediately concluded that his company could do it better. It was noted that he had actually watched an Impact Wrestling opening. He probably would have been embarrassed with blatantly stealing an idea from Impact Wrestling. This is because multiple members of the WWE creative staff, more so their assistants, are assigned to watch tapes of TNA, Ring of Honor, and WWE's NXT to file a report on its claims and contents. Though some creative members who joined WWE with no knowledge of professional wrestling whatsoever, there are some who have joined as employees or fans. Didn't I prove this? I told you Vince was a liar. So Vince, you get Dumbass Year of the Turkey of the Year Award. Dumbass Turkey of the Year Award for Vince.
And he's in the top rope, and he did it! Frog splash! Come on!
He looked and he saw his dad, John Hancock, on a brand new 15-year contract. He goes, so that what do I do? They go, well, you're not leaving. You leave, that's a breach of contract, and you're going to owe us $7.6 billion.
Because only the tough survive, that's the reason you ain't in it. And this punk holding the camera reading, he ain't in it. Reading these rednecks out here ain't in it because it's a tough business.
Terrific.
What, is that all you got?
I'll ask you the standard question. You know?
Standard question.
I think it's a fake.
You think it's fake?
What?
Huh? What the hell's wrong with you? That's open hand slap, huh?
Welcome to the Sports Opinion Show.
You have made a huge mistake. And if I ever see you in person, I am telling you on camera, please don't edit this out. I will rip you from limb to limb for destroying my reputation in your phony book full of lies, calling me somebody who just wants to gain attention to themselves and a has-been. That's all I have to say about this, Jericho.